This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Press the Fix Me Button. Improve Your Life Through Perception Modification. And the author is Dr. Richard A.M. Powell, and Dr. Powell joins us on Indie Book Publishing, this special segment brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Doctor.
Hello there.
Good to have you with us. Now, I'm going to read a couple of things that you have written about your book just to set the stage for everyone listening. You say this, have you ever found yourself wanting more out of life but just haven't quite found what it was? Have you ever felt there was something bigger and better there in the world for you? Have you ever felt deep within you that you may be settling for less than what you're worth? Press the Fix Me Button is an interactive book that will walk you through the various stages, steps toward finding peace within yourself and promote forward, upward thinking that will provoke you into making changes in your life that you never thought were possible. Well, we all need this kind of straight talk, Doctor. It sounds like you've been through it too, haven't you? And that's why I think you relate so well with the reader.
I have. Like everybody else, we all have our own story, our own personal stories, as I do myself. Coming from a dysfunctional background, by the time I was 13, I was living on the streets of Seattle. By the time I was 16, I was incarcerated. Along the way, I was always constantly asking from numerous individuals, you know, how do I fix this? How do I make changes in my life to not be this failure that everybody was commenting on and this label that everybody was giving me? And unfortunately, there really wasn't any one person that would step up to the plate and say, well, here's the answers. So over a course of about the last 20, 30 years of my life, I've committed myself to searching out those answers, and it's kind of what I found here in putting it into words so that others can relate to it as well. When we first started writing the book, we had kicked around a number of different ideas of how to, you know, to put the book into layman's terms. I didn't want it to be a medical terminology book. I didn't want it to be something that, you know, the person, the reader, was going to read through and then not really grasp all the concepts. And so it really dawned on me that I needed to personalize it, and I needed to really extend myself and say, you know, this is the pearls of information that I've acquired, and here they are. It's not the turnkey fix-it-all book. You know, but if somebody can take away some information from this, utilize it in their lives, and it can make a difference in their lives, then hopefully it'll be well worth the read.
You use the word label. That's what often people feel like they're looked at in a certain way, and they can never, ever get people to see themselves any differently, and it's very discouraging.
It is. You know, we come from all sorts of backgrounds. Unfortunately, like with myself, you know, I grew up without any money. All the clothes that I wore was secondhand. My haircut was in the kitchen, next to the kitchen table with a pair of shears. I didn't have all the fancy things. I was lucky to, you know, get the things that I did have. And, of course, when you're a kid, you don't necessarily appreciate all of those things too much. But as a kid as well, when you kind of grow up in a suppressed home in a dysfunctional environment, you find that, unfortunately, other kids and other people start to look at you a little differently, and they start to sometimes even look down at you, and they start labeling you and saying, you know, look at this kid over here, he's, you know, he's just trouble. Well, after a while, you begin to believe it, And before too long, the more you believe it, the more it actually becomes a reality. And that was one of those pearls of information that you find in this particular book, is being able to go back in your life and look at all of the experiences that you've been through, and be able to pull from those, not the negative things, but be able to change the perception, change the way you had seen them, modify that, and change it from a negative to a positive. So in other words, we're not going to say, oh, poor me, this happened to me and that happened to me. We're going to say, you know what? My life is an accumulation of all of the experiences that I've ever been through. That makes me who I am today, and that is such a wonderful thing. And so now I can go back and I can look at some of those hardships. I can look at some of those trials and tribulations, and I can say to myself, okay, this was a struggle, but I made it through. It was a challenge, but I made it through. It was an obstacle, but I made it over it. So I'm here today. Now, what can I use? What can I pull forward from that particular experience, a positive that I can pull forward and say, if it hadn't been for that experience, I probably would never have acquired this particular gift in my life. And so that in itself, it all of a sudden starts to dissolve those labels. It all of a sudden takes away that negativity. We now have that opportunity to say, you know what? All of these people in my life wanted to label me. They wanted to tell me that I was a failure and that I would end up in prison or I would end up dead alongside some road. But instead, I'm able to change that because I can change how I perceive myself. The more I think positively and forward, the more positive and forward I can believe with inside myself. The more I believe it, the more it becomes my reality.
Well, you write that you were at one time a very angry person because you couldn't find answers, but then one day, everything became clearer to me. Do you remember that one day?
I do, actually. I was on a plane, and I was on the lecture circuit. We were flying, and I was actually back in Massachusetts. And I was flying from Massachusetts to New York City. And I was sitting on a plane, and I was bored, had nothing to do, and I reached into my briefcase, and I pulled out, it was an excerpt from a book. And it had been given to me months prior by one of my patients. And she said, I just went to this seminar, and I really think that this would be a wonderful book for you to read. And I just kind of threw it in my briefcase and didn't think anything about it. Well, while I was on the plane digging around, I pulled that excerpt out of my briefcase and I thought, I think I'm going to read this. And it was a book by Byron Katie. It's called Loving What Is, 4 Questions That Can Change Your Life. And I read through that, and by the time I got to New York, all of a sudden, a light came on. All of a sudden, there was this overwhelmingness that I finally realized that all of the answers that I was looking for out there were right here. I just had to look at it a little differently.
And I guess everyone has that capability, that self-realization, but I guess we put up too many walls we just don't believe in ourselves, and we just don't think we could ever do anything by ourselves.
There is no challenge too great that we cannot overcome ourselves. All we have to do is believe in ourselves. That's an empowerment. That is the key concept to this, is just having that empowerment. It doesn't matter where you've been. All that matters is that you have a vision of where you want to go, and you empower yourself and commit yourself to making that vision a reality. That's all it is. You could have gone through the worst of times in your life, but if you commit to yourself, you say, okay, I'm going to do this. Because, you know, we're not all born, none of us are born with all of these tools. We just acquire them. What's the difference between this fellow that has everything given to him and this other gentleman that may be out of the projects? well, the guy that has everything given to him, he may not really acquire a true self, as to where this other fellow that may be out of the projects, he may become a lawyer, may become a doctor, he may become a multi-billionaire. What makes the differences? It's just in empowerment and commitment. This kid that's down here in the projects, growing up and seeing all of the things that he's seen, all the violence and drugs and all of the things that happen in his environment, he makes a commitment at an early age. He empowers himself and makes a commitment. He's not going to be there. He's going to be a doctor. He's going to be a lawyer. He's going to own his own company. He's going to be a multi-billionaire. And by making that commitment, he now has the tool, the one tool, to start moving forward. And as he progresses forward, he will acquire the rest of the tools. The more we project of ourselves, the more positiveness that we project outward, the more positive we acquire. The more negative we project, the negativity we're going to acquire. We're kind of a magnet in that way. So, you know, as we move forward in our lives and we think, okay, where am I right now? And some of us may say, I'm absolutely positively happy at where I'm at and life's good. But then there's some of us that say, you know, maybe not so much. Maybe I want to go a little further and I want to do something a little different. Maybe they're in an abusive situation. Maybe they're in a violent home. Maybe it's a woman who her husband is very physically abusive, and she says, "I can't get out." She can. And somebody's that's on drugs or that's an alcoholic, they can quit, and they can make something out of their lives. They can go forward in their lives, and they can become very valuable to themselves and to others. All they have to do is have that willingness to commit to themselves. And in this particular book, what we have is I've just put all of this together. I said, okay, here's the first phase. First phase is where am I right now, today? Am I happy? Am I not happy? There's seven key questions to asking, and that's the first seven questions in the book is, here's these seven questions to ask. You know, am I ready to commit? Am I ready to do this? Am I happy where I'm at? And that's all in that very first phase. The second phase of the book, of course, is then where do I want to go? And then we move into that third phase of where have I been? These are all really simple, but sometimes we forget, or in some cases, maybe somebody's never really even shared these tools with us. But as we move forward and we start through these various seven phases, they're building blocks. And then we get to that point where it's now we're ready to set some goals. Now we're ready to commit. Now we're ready to initiate our plan, and then we just maintain it and we follow through.
And would we consider adversity then as not so much of an obstacle, but maybe the power to take ourselves to the next level?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a tough one to deal with because people go through such hard times, all different kinds of unique experiences, and yet there is power in that adversity.
There is, absolutely. There is so much power. It's just how you want to think about it and how you want to engage within those adversities in your life. It's, you know, do you want to suppress yourself, or do you want to become? Do you want to overcome that adversity, and then rather than having it hinder you, use it. Use it as a strength. Don't look at it as a weight around your ankle holding you back. Take and unlock that and use it, because from every experience, any experience that you go through, there's valuable lessons, that positive valuable lessons that you can learn from. And if you use those, it empowers you even more. It catapults you out there in front of the rest, because most people don't. Most people, unfortunately, what they do is they have these adversities and these challenges and obstacles, and they allow those to have that negativeness to them and pull them down. And even after the fact, years and years and years and years pass, it still is pulling them down. I have a patient of mine that I've been working with. I've been working with her for the last couple of years. And when she was 3 years old, she was sitting on the back porch outside, and her father had walked out the back porch, and she raised up her hands to her father so that her father would pick her up, and her father had walked past her and went out and picked her sister up in the yard. And she says, I remember it nice, and she tells me, she says, you know, it made me feel so bad. It made me feel so abandoned. My father just walked past me and went and picked up my sister. So, that, you know, for the next 30 years of her life, she had spent trying to win her father over. She felt that she had to win her father over. And I just simply asked her, I said, you were 3 years old when this had taken place. Let me ask you, you know, was your sister injured out in the yard? Had it, or was she in danger? She says, well, she said, I don't know. I was only 3 years old. I said, but for the last 30 years of your life, you felt this need that you had to win your father over, win your father's love over. What says that your father didn't love you? It could have very well been that maybe your sister was injured in the yard and he just went out to pick her up. It wasn't that he was abandoning you, but you've been left with 30 years of abandonment. And she says, well, I'd never even thought of it that way. See, just by changing that perception, just by modifying it just a little bit, putting that, those couple of questions in there, sometimes the answers are not necessarily what we want to hear. But sometimes the answers are, well, maybe I didn't necessarily see it that way. And when we start changing how we see things, and we start looking for gifts that we can acquire, we start looking for that lesson that's built into those experiences, all of a sudden we lift that negativity off of us and we say, wow, I don't mind going through hard times because I know that I'm going to acquire some gift from God. I'm going to acquire some wonderful experience, some knowledge that I'm going to be able to use moving forward.
The title of the book, Press the Fix Me Button, Improve Your Life Through Perception Modification. The author is Dr. Richard A.M. Powell. Dr. Powell, tell us how to get your book.
Well, my book is available online at Barnes & Noble. It's also at Balboa Press. You can also get it at Amazon.com. It's in a number of formats. We have softbound, hardbound, and also an electronic format. So anybody out there that has any of the electronic type of book readers, there's a number of them that are on the market, I believe. So it is available in all of those formats.
Dr. Powell, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate your having me.
Dr. Richard A.M. Powell, author of his book, Press the Fix Me Button, Improve Your Life Through Perception Modification. He's been our guest today on Indie Book Publishing, this special segment brought to you by Balboa Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready for the Not-So-Soccer Mom Tuesday afternoons at 1 Eastern, noon Central on TogiNet with Jill Hickey. You name it, from politics to pop culture to Jill's search for the perfect bronzer and chicken salad. The Not-So-Soccer Mom will weigh in on it all. The sentence, I have no opinion about that, is one that Jill has never uttered. In the early 90s, Jill finally decided to put her thoughts, opinions, mom advice, love of pop culture, hummus, and Starbucks, working out, cosmetic shopping, and politics into an actual website, and thus NotSoSoccerMom.com was born. Shortly after her fourth child, a boy, Jerome, now she's really got tons of topics to share with you. This is Laugh Out Loud Funny, and we're not kidding. What's a loud Nebraska girl who lived in Little Rock for many years and now is up in the Northeast doing? Chronicling her opinions on everything. The wheels aren't off yet, but it's close. It's the Not-So-Soccer Mom with Jill Hickey, Tuesday afternoons at 1 Eastern, noon Central, on TogiNet.com. Innovation and insight, problems and solutions, capitalizing on your ideas and efforts. That's all a part of Changing the World, One Invention at a Time with Rick Rowe. Thursday evenings at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com. Rick will be sharing stories of innovation, invention, inspiration, and overcoming obstacles with guests who have been there, done that, and are doing that. Rick will be asking the right questions, helping you identify the real problems, and showing you how to act on your ideas by increasing consumer confidence, and more importantly, increasing your confidence to act on your ideas. For even more information, go to thinktechglobally.com. Then join us as Rick and his guests teach us how to develop new ideas and create new products, new businesses, new jobs. And together, let's get our economy growing again. It's changing the world one invention at a time. With author and inventor, Rick Rowe. Thursday evenings at 6, 5 Central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Divine Providence, 50 Life Lessons from the Book of Esther. And the author is Dr. Doug Wilcox. And Dr. Wilcox joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. And this interview is brought to you by Cross Books Publishing. Hello, Dr. Wilcox.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Well, I'm going to read a couple of things you've written just to kind of set the stage for this discussion. You say this: Divine Providence is a thorough study of the Book of Esther with revealing life lessons that are relevant for our lives today. Although God's name is absent from the book, Divine Providence clearly reveals God's fingerprints are present on every detail and behind every development. Divine Providence lays out a series of life lessons from three different perspectives: God in relation to man, man in relation to God, himself and others, and for those in positions of authority, life lessons in leadership. Well, that's very comprehensive, and for a book that is how long?
It's about 320 pages long, the book, but the Esther itself is about 9 chapters and 3 verses.
9 chapters and 3 verses. Obviously, you have been studying this in detail. Why did you choose Esther to write this book?
Well, Esther is, again, a very short book in the Old Testament. Again, a story of a young Jewish girl in 480 B.C. Persia who becomes queen. And although it's a simple story, it is so rich in what it teaches as far as life lessons for everybody.
Yeah, you say the book has it all: suspense, intrigue, mystery, sex, death, heroes, villains, and multiple plots, and on top of all that, a happy ending.
It does. It does. Again, at that time period, there was an attempt to annihilate the Jewish race, and Esther was placed in a position where God used her to prevent that from happening. Again, that was something that just could not happen. Old Testament prophecy indicated that Jesus Christ, how he would be born, and that just would not have happened if the Jewish race had been annihilated, and God was not going to let that happen.
So God is in control.
That's one of the overriding principles, is that Jesus Christ controls history. And one of the themes in the book is that God's sovereignty, what God determines will be, is, and what he determines will not be, is not. Yet at the same time, man has free will, and it's just a fascinating concept how the two can coexist together.
That's for sure. I agree totally, and it is a marvel of, and I guess that's because of his omniscience. He can do that, there's no doubt. Now, take us, we go all the way back, how far?
480 B.C. Persia, with King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, as he is also known, and this is the same Persian king that fought the Spartans, historical 300 Spartans. It's the same king.
Now, and you see similarities between the leaders back at 480 B.C. and 2010 here in the United States. And, of course, this book was written last year, so we're talking 2010 similarities.
So one of the themes in the book is that biblical principles define good leadership. You know, Esther reveals both good leadership and poor leadership. Several examples in the book shows failure of government leadership in 480 B.C. Persia, and some of these same failures are seen in present-day America. Biblical principles define good leadership. Esther reveals both good leadership and poor leadership skills. There's several examples that Esther shows which illustrate the failure of government leadership in 480 BC Persia, and we see some of these same failures in present-day America. I think government fails when it does not tell the truth regarding issues in order to create new laws for personal gain rather than following established laws. In the book of Esther, one of the wise men, Memucan, does not answer the king's specific questions about what should be done with the queen who had disobeyed the king. Instead, they tend to spin stories and answer questions with what they think will happen if women are not put in their place. The result is that the queen is removed from her position. You know, in America, the Constitution provides for the equal application of law to allow freedom and opportunity for all people. And many in government today tend to spin issues to increase the power of government at the expense of personal freedom. So I think there are a lot of similarities.
Tell us about this specific method that you used in studying Esther and which resulted in these 50 life lessons.
The method is called the hermeneutical study, and hermeneutics is simply the science and the art of studying the Bible. It's a first-year course in most seminaries, and I took it at the Dallas Theological Seminary in the fall of 2007. Hermeneutics uses four principles: observation, interpretation, correlation, and application. And it's really a way to methodically study any book of the Bible. You know, we tend to pick up God's Word and read it and see what we can get out of it, but to really understand what God is telling us, you need to methodically look at things. One exercise our professor gave us in our class was take a verse of the Bible, I believe we used Acts 1:7, and try to write down all the observations, not assumptions, but observations. And it really, it's a test to see how well you can really define what a verse is telling. But again, the process of hermeneutics, it's work, but the results are very rewarding.
Now, most of us would assume that Esther would be the protagonist, but you have a different view of that.
I think Mordecai is the protagonist. He provides leadership, direction, and in Esther 4:14, he gives probably the most incredible challenge to Esther, and I think it's probably the pivotal scene in the entire book. Specifically, the verse says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" It's a critical period in the story. Esther has a choice to either obey or disobey God, which is free will. If she disobeys, she will die. If she disobeys, God will raise up someone else to save the Jews. This is where divine sovereignty comes in. You also can see that God has prepared Esther for this one occasion to save the Jews. That's where both human free will and divine sovereignty are present throughout the life of Esther. And the application for us is that God invites us to join him in his work. If we decline, he raises up someone else. Again, I think Mordecai is the one that produces these thoughts and this direction, and for that reason, I think he's the protagonist.
No one certainly can thwart the divine will, and like you say, if you won't do it, someone else will follow him.
And again, the application for us is it's, you know, God puts us in situations where maybe people need help. If we choose to listen to his Spirit and respond, it's a good thing. If we don't do it, God often raises up somebody else. And again, God's plan is done, but we will end up losing out on maybe rewards, either here on earth or in heaven.
And of course, every Christian will face adversity in his or her life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think maybe some young believers think that, well, gosh, I believe in God. I have put my faith there. Therefore, I'm not going to have any problems. God grows us through adversity. I think of times when I've been in tough situations, and when you put your faith, your trust in God, and follow His plan, the adversity may go on for some time, but there is blessing in their spiritual growth, and that's really how we all mature.
What are some of the leadership traits that stand out in this great story?
There's you almost have to look at some of the negative leadership traits. King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, is prideful and greedy and petty, and as a result of adversity, not only for him, but for the entire kingdom. We do see good leadership characteristics with Mordecai and Esther as far as trusting God, telling the truth, facing challenges with perseverance. It's hard work as well.
You write that government fails when it does not hold itself to the same standards it requires of the citizens, and you talk about elitism was present all the way back in 480 B.C.
Yes. Again, we see this both, again, then and certainly here in America. In Persia, in that time period, the wise men, again, this was Memucan with his other wise men, convinced the king. They passed an edict requiring all beautiful virgins to be put in the king's harem. This is found in Esther 2, 1 through 4. There's just no mention of the daughters of the king's attendants being included. I think there's a direct illustration or application here in America. We've seen cases where Congress people break laws, maybe not paying taxes, and they tend to get a slap on the wrist, yet the average citizen possibly would be convicted of a crime. We're often told, to some extent, what cars we're supposed to drive, how much energy to use, even what foods we should eat, but many in government do what they want to do. So there are applications, similar type government practices we see in 480 BC in present-day America.
What book of the Bible doctrinal principles do you plan to study next?
Right now I'm taking some Old Testament courses at DTS, actually Genesis through Judges. So I'm right in the middle of Leviticus, which is about a lot of offerings and laws that God had for his people in wanting them to be holy as he is.
As you've gone through this whole system of study and you've really had this comprehensive view of what we can learn from the book of Esther, you ask this question: how are believers to respond to governmental authority in America?
That is just a fascinating question. And Romans 13, 1 through 7, Paul does give some very specific commands as far as what believers, how they are to respond to governing authorities. We are to submit. It's interesting that that word is not the same as to obey. The Greek word for submit is hupotasso, different than obey. We are to submit to legal authority. The Bible is clear that God places leaders in positions of authority. The question, of course, arises, what if an evil leader is present in Germany? How were people to respond to Hitler, or in Russia, Stalin? Those are very, very tough questions for missionaries in foreign countries where leadership is anti-Christian. The Bible is clear that we are to follow God as our ultimate authority, and certainly if a governing authority in any country would prohibit or would require citizens to do things against God's will, we are to honor God and not our civilian authorities? But it's a very difficult question. At what point do we not obey but still submit? And the question is, what if leaders are not following the authority that they are governed to, or to submit to, such as the Constitution? It's a fascinating subject.
The title of the book, Divine Providence, 50 Life Lessons from the Book of Esther, and the author is Dr. Doug Wilcox. Dr. Wilcox, tell us how to get your book.
Well, a couple different ways. There is a website, 50lifelessons.net, that's got a lot of information on the website as well, how to order it. It can also be obtained at crossbooks.com, amazon.com, and barnesandnoble.com.
Well, thanks for joining us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thanks, Steve. It's been a pleasure, and look forward to doing it again.
And this interview is brought to you by Cross Books Publishing.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com.
Youth was sad, right? Cause he had a death pill, mommy and dad, right? But that ain't the case, nope. It wasn't his fate, no, nope. The walls never struggled to communicate, ha. Y'all wave your hands, look who's on, yeah. It's Dakota Man Keith, and he's number one.
It's That Keith Wan Show on TogiNet.com, Wednesday nights at 8, 7 Central. Every week, That Keith Wan Show will have guests that share their experiences, expertise, opinions, and personal lives with us to hopefully help us better understand others. The topics and guests will come from the American Sign Language community. For more on Keith Wan and the show, go to his website, KeithWan.com. Listen with an open mind and willingness to learn and help with the cultural bridge.
Number one, Keith's number one. Everybody clap, put the Coda Man's on. Number one, Keith's number one. Everybody clap, put the Coda Man's on.
Don't miss That Keith Wan Show, Wednesday nights at 8, 7 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, The Promise of Surfing Rainbows. The author, P.D.M. Dulce. And Dale and Pam join us now on Indie Book Publishing, brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Dale.
Hi there, Steve.
Hello, Pam.
Hi, Steve. Hi.
Good to have you both with us. Dale,
glad to be with you.
Dale is with us here in the United States, and Pam is over the big pond, as they say, right?
That's right. I'm in Malta.
Well, I'm going to read a couple things that have been written about the promise of surfing rainbows. You say this: the reason for the book, The Promise of Surfing Rainbows, is to give someone the knowledge of how to create the life of their dreams intentionally. Rainbow surfing is the process whereby you can create the life of your dreams by design. Once you've learned how to surf your rainbow, your deepest desires can be fulfilled. Well, we all need that, that's for sure. We all need to fulfill our dreams. Pam, tell us what the motivation was to write the book.
Quite exciting for me because how many years ago I was really, really wanting to have children, have a family. I was very good at achieving most of the targets I ever wanted, but having a family just didn't happen for me. And one day I was on a bus. I met up with now my good friend Dale, and we were talking how if all these self-help books are so brilliant, how come I still wasn't getting what I wanted in life? And we discussed many, many different books over the next however many years, and then we pinpointed something that we're calling the crucial link, which is the crucial link between two aspects of ancient wisdom that have already improved the lives of millions. Now, one is energy work, which is at the foundation of all holistic therapy, so your Reiki, acupuncture and everything else, reflexology. Every holistic therapist, at the core of that is energy work. And then there's something else called the law of attraction. Again, thousands of books have been written on that. But there has not been a book that has put the two together in such a way as we do that explains how to fully capitalize on the law of attraction through energy work. And it was when we discovered this, it was very shortly after that I conceived, and I now have two fantastic babies. And other people who have taken the very simple step through Surfing Rainbows to increase their energy levels, which is a very simple process through Surfing Rainbows, which is at the core of all holistic therapy, then they can achieve their dreams. And as wild and wacky as it sounds, it really is true and effective. And so much so that we have the likes of the Barefoot Doctor, an expert in energy medicine, saying that Surfing Rainbows is the best way to mindfully manifest miracles. And he's right. I mean, that is an amazing endorsement. We've got probably about 20 or so really inspiring, famous people endorsing Surfing Rainbows because it is that effective.
Well, Dale, the subtitle of this book is Playing with Infinite Potential for Unlimited Possibilities. Again, we all want that, and we need it. And so you have broken your book down, what is Surfing Rainbows, and then how to start Surfing Rainbows. Give us some of the keys, some of the things that we need to know about the first part of your book, what is Surfing Rainbows?
Thanks again, Steve. You're absolutely right. We have broken the book down into a couple parts, but just to back up a little bit to kind of segue what Pam was talking about, you know, and the motivation, which will tie into your question here. I myself, you know, have been around, the business community forever. I'm in my 60s, and I've studied a lot of positive thinking books and self-help, inspirational, whatever, and all these different things. And my primary motivation for helping and assisting and being a co-author of The Promise of Surfing Rainbows with Pam was because I've got five children, two sets of twin daughters, and four grandkids, and I wanted to be sure that I kind of left them some information or some ideas or some of the things that I found that really worked. And when Pam and I put together the thoughts and the information in The Promise of Surfing Rainbows, like she stated, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we've got a lot of people using it. We have a lot of people endorsing it because it does absolutely work. So what we've always felt in all the books that I've ever read, to me it's important that we explain what is Surfing Rainbows, the promise of Surfing Rainbows. And Pam already touched on the couple main elements in the book, the energy aspect and the law of attraction. And combining these two, we've come up with something what we call the crucial link. And once people see that simple crucial link and then in a fun and easy way apply the information, which is the second component in our book, is we feel the information is only worth so much, but if you can apply it and give people some easy, simple, fun ways to incorporate it in their everyday, then truly the promise is they can, as you mentioned, have a life of fulfilled dreams where infinite potential meets unlimited possibilities. I know that sounds like maybe a big statement, but when people start, you know, again, reading and applying it, they'll see exactly what we mean, because we've had a lot of people already prove that what we've stated here is absolutely coming true for them in their lives.
Well, obviously, there are principles here that have to be followed, that there are laws of success, right? Would you call them?
Absolutely. There's laws of success, and we've pinpointed those in our book. And really, the laws apply to everyone, just like the law of gravity. You know, no one escapes that, so to speak. So these laws are there, and we're making them, bringing them to the attention of people so they can start utilizing these laws to the fullest so they can truly have a fulfilled life, the life that they want to live.
Pam, give us a little of your view of the second part of the book, the part two, how to start surfing rainbow. So after we've learned what to do, we've got to start. Now, you know, that sounds pretty simplistic, but what are you getting at there?
Okay, so what we thought is, you know, when you get a book, normally you read it, you put it down, you may put it on the shelf again, you may think you might do it tomorrow, but what we thought we would do is actually say, come on, we're going to give you some help here. We're going to start something called a treasure hunt to your deepest desires. We're going to hold your hand. We're going to take you on a journey of self-discovery. You're not going to be alone. And not only are you going to get your deepest desires at the end, but also on the way, we're going to give you some huge incentives to keep going. Because just think of your January New Year's resolutions. By February, most of them have usually faded out. So we're giving people a huge incentive to keep going. And it's so simple and so easy, but let's hold your hand. Let's give you some support. We've got plenty of teleseminars. We've also got free prizes. Now, these go from they're about $100 per prize, and there's like a TV, a huge HD TV. There's beautiful angelic artwork print. There's sound music. Each month, everybody who is part of our treasure hunt will be eligible to just even having the book, reading the book, and then if they want to become part of the treasure hunt, they will be eligible to a monthly prize. In fact, what's quite exciting is we've got so many big names who really like our project that the prizes are flooding in. We've got more than for one a month now. It looks like we have one every couple of weeks. And at this rate, we'll probably get them even more than that. So what's exciting then is that we've got all these big names in the industry saying, yeah, stuffing rainbows is pretty good. Let's give you some prizes, incentivize people, and let's get this thing moving. So that's without going into huge steps as to what the steps are right now, just perhaps know that if you're interested, we have this fabulous treasure hunt with masses of incentives to help you keep going to reach your dreams, whatever they are. In my case, way back when, it was to have babies after 6 years of not being able to have them. Huge business success. I've got people with cancer. I had somebody who had cancer quite severely, and we surfed rainbows. We knew what we wanted to achieve, and how many months later we had the all clear, and across the table, the celebrating table, the girl in question said that surfing rainbows did a lot more for her than her oncologist, and she has the all clear. So it's just, you know, it's heartwarming, it's brilliant. That's what it's all about.
Well, everyone loves prizes, that's for sure. We all we normally don't get that kind of incentive, so that's,
I know.
Right, so that's a great idea.
But do you know what's so exciting? Oh, this is like just so crazy, is that I put the word out that we'd like to do this. We feel so positively about our project. It's not just about helping the individual. This project is about helping, making a massive difference in the world, because not only will we help people on an individual basis, but the project is set to help people who are really at the worst stage of situations in life. We have one of our endorsers, she was homeless, she's then gone to Harvard. I mean, like, this is huge. So we want to help people who are really at the the depths of despair and take them out of that. So our project is not just about the individual, it's about the group, it's about society, it's about, you know, the collective. And when I sent out the emails and contacted some big people about, you know, whether they wanted to give some surprises to support us with our project to make this big, the prizes are flooding in, which is fantastic. So, you know, I say we've got one a month, but actually it's more like 2 a month. My objective is to have one every single day, a prize of $100 every single day for people who are taking the eligible to get this prize, which is huge.
Dale, this statement, our book is a book for anyone, no matter where they came from, their background, or their current situation. That is a universal promise, it sounds like.
Well, and again, maybe it sounds like a little bit over the top, but quite frankly, as we stated earlier, Steve, you know, it's like, again, we talked about the law of gravity, that these laws apply to everyone, right? And it's the same thing here. All we're doing is kind of modernizing or giving a fresh look to really some ancient wisdom and also some modern science that backs up everything that we talk about in the book, where, again, truly, we know the information is very accurate and very very spot on, if you want to call that, because as Pam already alluded to, we have all kinds of endorsers from all kinds of walks of life. I mean, we have professionals, non-professionals, therapists, teachers, business owners, moms, grandmas, just every walk of life, all kinds of people already endorsing it. And then we've got all these other people who've read the book now, like you said, stepping forward with all the prizes because they really believe. It's more than just the book. Quite frankly, Steve, this is going to be an entire project or enterprise where we really truly want to help people, and that's our primary motivation here. I know it may sound trite, but we really do believe in and we love helping people to have the best life possible. So we've got all these endorsers, but we've also got a lot of people who are reading the book who are getting incredible results beyond their wildest dreams, that are giving us just story after story of all the successes they're having. So to me, it's a fun and exciting project.
And I'd like to interject, if I may, just to say that your statement is that it's quite a wild thing, that it's like so sweeping, it's for everybody. But if you do look at the background of these endorsers, one was homeless, went to Harvard. One was no exam passes, racist, bullied, etc., etc. He now runs a $60 million business. Billy Baxter in the army, blinded while at service, and then he turns his life around. He's now on stage. He's a motorcycle stuntman. I mean, you know, he rides horses. He's blind. Yeah, fantastic stuff. So it is for people of every single background. You know, it is your wildest dream. For me, my dream was to have children. I had everything else. That was my huge thing, and it meant the world to me to achieve that. And you can hear them in the back. I think I'm called out. Do come to the website. We'll support you every single way of the journey. I send you love. My time is up. I send you love. Bye.
Bye, Pam. Dale, tell us about your website and how to get the book.
Absolutely, Steve. Again, it's kind of like the title of our book. It's www.surfingrainbows.com. So surfingrainbows.com. People go there, and one of the things we haven't mentioned here, Steve, is that we wrote actually three versions of this same book, The Promise of Surfing Rainbows, because we wanted to have the information available to people of all ages. So we've got a really what we call a book for little ones or toddlers. We've got something for teens or tweens, and then we've got what we call the main book, or the grown-up version, if you will, and that's the one we're talking about here. But actually, all three of those are available at our website. So if people go to surfingrainbows.com, they will see how they can purchase all three books. They will see the endorsers. They can take a peek inside the book before they purchase, the prizes and the contests, and all those things are at our website. So they have a whole lot of fun just visiting the website.
Well, this is a lot of fun. So congratulations, Dale. The Promise of Surfing Rainbows, written by PDM Dulce. We really appreciate Dale and Pam being on Indie Book Publishing, brought to you by Balboa Press. Dale, any closing thoughts?
I guess, again, our primary thing is we want to have people have something that they can use, that it works for them, that it's well worth it for them to do. And as Pam already stated, we have put together this treasure hunt with all these prizes and incentives because we do want to help people attain whatever it is in life that they feel that they want to have in their life, to have that happy life. And so we're fully committed to helping them. It's not just purchase a book and that's the end of it. We want to assist them throughout their entire process here of surfing rainbows.
Thank you, Dale. Thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.